What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's March 9th, 2026, episode 486 of the Tan and J-Man Show is on the air on the ISC Sports Network, along with their YouTube channel and their Twitch channel, and on their Twitter, or X, I should say, and live on the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page and our YouTube channel. So hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that notification bell, so you know when we are going live each and every Monday night. And give us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite audio podcast platform, too. That really helps us out. Free way to support the podcast. I'm Tanner Lee. Right alongside me on the screen, Josh the J-Man Month.
Reporting for service.
J-Man, how are we doing on this nice, sunny pre-spring day, since it's not spring till the 20th or 20-something?
Fake spring, as it's fake supposed spring. To get a little colder here the rest of the week. Doing all right. This is, I would say this is up there as my favorite sports week of the year, with conference championships, conference tournaments, all throughout the week. You get basketball on during the daytime, NFL free agency starting this week, and we're already seeing the legal tampering with guys signing, and of course they can't become official till Wednesday or whenever that is. But
Wednesday at 4 Eastern time, I believe.
And then we have the selection show on Sunday, so this is as good of a sports week as you could possibly get.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was fun at lunchtime. I flipped on NFL Network while I was eating my lunch, and that's right at noon when the free agent signings or, you know, were being reported. And it was like ding, 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 like like every minute they were flying in. So it was pretty fun to watch. Some of them predictable, some others not so predictable. And we'll get into all that. But first, did you bring a birdie or bogey question with you for me this week? And what's the total so far, the running totals for the
total
year?
Let me bring it up real quick. You have a commanding lead so far.
Commanding, yeah.
And I have two questions prepared tonight, and I think I'm going to choose the more difficult one to hopefully get myself back into this thing.
I like the strategy.
And I might use the other one here in 2 weeks if my computer agrees with my clicking. We'll see. All right, come on there. Come on. You are up. You're even through February into March. You're even. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, considering where I was last year.
Yeah, and I am 3 over. So you have a commanding
That's nothing. It's early. Lead. It's early. I've blown plenty of 3-stroke leads in my life.
That is fair. Straightforward question. What college basketball team has won their conference tournament the most?
Very good question.
Yeah. And, of course, some tournaments haven't been around that long. So.
Okay, so this could be P4, G5.
Sorry. Just high majors.
Okay, because I was going to guess Gonzaga. So
yeah, of that.
Glad I clarified.
I am too. I wrote it down. What high major has won? Just say it out loud.
Glad I asked, because at the end I would have been Gonzaga. And then
I would have given you another shot.
Nicer than I am.
Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Plays. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Plays serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. It's located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
And I do, let me pull it up real quick, have their a few highlighted items for March. I shared on our Facebook page, if my computer will cooperate with me. As I click, now it's spinning and spinning and spinning. Let's see here. So, yeah, over the weekend, their weekend specials, Thursday through Saturday in March, the lineup, you got shrimp tacos. You got a Carolina burger.
Got some barbecue on that thing? I'd imagine that's some pulled pork.
It says served on a sweet potato bun and stacked with coleslaw, hearty chili, and melted cheddar cheese. Comes with a side of crispy French fries, messy, savory, and absolutely worth it. New appetizers to try, broccoli cheddar bites and 6-piece boneless wings.
Yummy.
Sides worth subbing for, sweet potato fries and cheesy potatoes. And their soups for the week, every day, like always, loaded baked potato. Thursday, creamy chicken wild rice. I've had that one. That's really good. Friday, cactus chili. And Saturday, broccoli and cheddar. So you can also order online for pickup or delivery.
Really?
Yep.
Man, things done change since I've lived there.
That's a good thing that you didn't have delivery.
Yeah. The outside world wouldn't have seen me unless I was at work.
It would have hurt your wallet too.
Would have hurt my wallet a little bit more. Yeah. You know, our multiple trips a week to Wendy's did, but.
Well, now in 2026, that would hurt our wallets too.
Yeah, it'd that's kill not cheap our either. No, goodness. Man,
nothing's cheap in the world anymore. No. But
I remember when I could go to Wendy's and get a Baconator large for $8. Now it's $15.
Oh yeah. Oh, easy. Easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable. But so we got a lot to talk about, but I thought we would talk, let's talk NFL free agency first.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Your team was in the headlines today.
Yeah. They were active.
Of course got rid of their quarterback of the past. How many years was Tua there?
Since 20, he was drafted in 2020. So six seasons.
Yeah. So they released Tua and it broke the NFL record for a dead cap hit, which was the Broncos to Russell Wilson for $84 million.
Oh, this man, they shattered it.
This was $99 million.
Yeah, they shattered that.
But they had to do it. They had to cut bait. Yeah. But they also picked up the number one rated free agent by many people out there, Malik Willis, who was lastly a backup in Green Bay. Yeah. But he's had some a stint in Green Bay, hasn't got to play a bunch, but what he has, he's done fairly well. It's a 3-year deal, $67.5 million, with 45 of that guaranteed. How are we feeling there?
It doesn't move the needle for me a whole lot. They have so many needs. You could argue they have needs at every single position except running back. And
Adrian's going to be a free agent next year if they don't re-sign.
Yes, he's going to be a free agent. I would imagine that he will be a priority to try to lock up because he's very, very good. Obviously, you need to figure out probably the quarterback situation first. That should be priority number one. And again, he's probably the best of a bad situation because it's either that, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, like – You know what you got in Geno. You know what you have in Kyler. Maybe you hit.
I'd say Kyler over Geno any day.
Oh, so absolutely would as well. But
yeah,
you know exactly what you got in those guys. Where Willis
could have rolled with a Flack man. Flacco wants to play another year.
Could have done that as well, which would have been bad. Could have gone the Kirk Cousins route as well, which would have been equally as bad.
Yeah.
But they chose a guy that, again, hasn't had too many starts. He was very, very good with Green Bay in his 3-year, 4-start stint when Jordan Love was hurt. And obviously, the front office and coaching staff are very, very familiar with him because they're Green Bay guys.
Right,
and,
right.
So they have that familiarity. He has more upside, again, than those guys I just mentioned. It's just $67 million for a guy with a very small sample size is scary. $45 million guaranteed. Now, the good thing is he's not guaranteed any money after 2027. So it could be a 2-year thing. He stinks. Okay, whatever. You cut him. Cool. And again, I prefer him over taking a guy like Ty Simpson or whoever at 11 as well.
Or getting into Daniel Jones sweepstakes.
Hard pass. I think I'd prefer Willis at $67 million than Daniel Jones at 100 and whatever for sure.
Yeah.
But again, with all these needs, they have a brutal schedule on paper, and I don't see anything better than 6-11 or 7-10 again. And they've just been in that purgatory for years now, where it really is. Just like in the NBA, you get, you know, you're in the play-in game. They always talk about the three teams, the Hawks, Heat, and Bulls. And finally, the Bulls decide, okay, we're going to actually do it right and tank. But those teams were always in the play-in game, and it's hard to get out of that because you're picking late lottery or, you know, one-pick pass lottery. You pick 10 through 20 in the NFL, and you have a hard, hard time finding elite-level players. Or you can. But especially quarterback wise, whatever. I'm glad they cut bait with Tua. He did sign with the Atlanta Falcons, which I think is a very good fit for him. He's been very good in a dome in his career outside of his game in Indianapolis this past season. I think he's 5-1 or 6-1 in a dome, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in his career. They have some good weapons there with Drake London, Bijan Robinson. I think Kyle Pitts is a free
agent. Kyle Pitts got franchise tagged.
He did get franchise tagged. Okay, so he'll be back. Yep. So good weapons there. A very, very hurt quarterback room, though, and Michael Penix with no knees. And
yeah, that's why Tua might be able to start week one because Penix don't know about his recovery yet.
And honestly, I'd take Tua over Penix any day of the week.
It is interesting you have two lefty quarterbacks.
Yeah, that is interesting. Very often. I mean, we went years without seeing even a lefty starter, and now you got two of them in the same room.
And they were saying Drake London and Bijan Robinson are left-handed as well, even though you don't know by their position, but they are dominant left-handers as well.
You know what? Respect from a fellow lefty. It's about time we see some more left-handed dominant people in the world. And I'm a closet Falcons fan now because
there you go.
Tua's actually right-handed. His dad made him throw left-handed.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's another interesting wrinkle. What else the Dolphins do today? Oh, they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Jets.
Seventh round pick, I think.
Complete salary dump, which is why they only got a seventh. The Jets are paying his entire salary, so that freed up a lot of cap space for the Dolphins. So they're going to stink, and I'm going to be okay with it. So
there was definitely some teams that threw out a lot of money today. A lot of teams that
Raiders.
Are very good Raiders. They always win free agency, though. Who are we kidding? They always spend a lot. Yeah. But they did make, I thought, some really good moves. Tyler Lindenbaum, especially at center.
For sure.
Titans threw out some money today in some areas, getting Wandale Robinson, got Jonathan Franklin Myers from the Broncos, which that's why the Broncos didn't even try to re-sign him during the season. They knew he was going to want too much. I think he ended up getting a 3-year, $64 million deal.
Position is easy. Defensive tackle.
D-tackle. Yeah. They got Trubisky as their backup, which not a bad backup.
Not a bad backup.
They're in position to take somebody good in the draft at number 4, maybe Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame. So, I mean, they're not going to be a playoff team next year, but they might be building it the right way there. Mm-hmm. Got Robert Saleh as their head coach. And Dable as their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. Another former head coach. I can't think who it is.
I know Saleh's going to call defensive plays.
Yeah.
Because he didn't in New York, and he said he felt like he was pretty much just the timeout and challenge guy. He felt like he wasn't even involved. So that's why he wants to call defensive plays.
Let me see who the Titans defensive coordinator.
They have a bunch of bald guys. Did you say that already?
I did not.
They have a bunch of bald guys.
So that could be a closet team. Closet
team for me as well.
Yeah. Gus Bradley.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, yeah, bald guys.
Going back to the Dolphins real quick, I am glad that they've gotten rid of older guys.
Sure.
Which I think as of now, they're the second or third youngest team in the NFL after being one of the older teams in the NFL this past year. So, again, that's doing it right. And they have a ton of picks, so hopefully they can start turning things around. It's not going to happen this year, but we'll see.
Some other big headlines. Colts paid Alex Pierce big time. 4-year deal worth, I think it was like 116 after everything was
all said. I think that's absolutely.
You get about 80 million.
That's absurd. He caught 47 balls last year, which was his career high.
Yep.
He 20 something yards a catch. So he's a very good deep threat. But
yes.
I have a hard time paying a guy $100 million.
Well, now he's their number one. He wasn't their number one last year. That was Pittman.
It's fair.
They traded to Pittsburgh. Now he's got to be their number one, though. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
We'll see how that goes for him.
I know why they did it, because if he hit free agency, he was probably going in another uniform. Yeah. I think the Commanders were ready to throw a bunch of money his way from what I was reading, but
if you lose Pittman and Pierce, you're kind of screwed there.
Yeah, well, and now they're going to pay Daniel Jones probably more than they want. They're in a tough spot.
Yes, they are.
They really are. But that was a big headline. Wandale Robinson's deal was 4 years, $78 million. I'm seeing
that's
on my TV.
Crazy for a guy that averages less than 10 yards.
$38 million guaranteed. Kenneth Walker got a new home in Kansas City. I hate that. Assuming that he's productive like he was last year, Super Bowl MVP, because Kansas City running back's their one spot they haven't been able to figure out.
What was his contract?
3-year, 40-something, okay. 45, 48. Yeah.
Still
ETN
have a...
got more with the Saints. Okay. ETN got a 4-year deal.
I have a hard time paying running backs in free agency. Oh.
Travis Kelce is expected to return for the 14th
season.
That's
surprising.
1-year contract with the Chiefs up to $15 million.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
Was that one of our bold predictions that he'd retire, or have we just talked
mine was
about
last year?
Oh, okay.
I checked because I went to update it today, and I thought, and I went over, we all of our predictions so far that haven't been wrong yet are still hanging on.
hanging on by a thread
for now. you got your Tua one right, though. Tua and Tyreek.
Yeah.
Out. So
I think I said they'd both be cut before the league year. They designated Tua
to
as opposed to June 1st. So
giving it to you. Close enough. Thad Mooney, Reed Blankenship to Houston, 3-year, $25 million. Let's see who else. I saw Kobe Bryant sign with the Bears today, a 3-year, $40 million deal.
Mike Evans to the San Francisco 49ers, 3-year deal.
That was the surprise. The length in the price there surprised me.
Yeah, especially a guy. Of course, he's been ridiculously productive. Yeah. 1,000 yards or more in each of his first, 10 seasons. And last year was a year where he got hurt. So he goes to a place coming off a very serious injury, that a place where everyone gets hurt, it seems like. So we'll see how that goes for them. But Brock Purdy needed some weapons there because McCaffrey's kind of on the downside of his career, still productive, but they don't have any receivers at all because Ayuk just doesn't show up. Obviously, Debo's no longer there, but good fit.
Other moves, there was a big trade before free agency. Max Crosby trade from the Raiders to the Ravens for two first-round picks, one this year, one next year. First time in Ravens history they've traded a first-rounder for a player.
Interesting.
Yeah. Rams got rid of their first-round pick. So
shocking.
Every year from 2018 through now, the last time they picked in first round was 27. Or no, excuse me.
They
one
took,
year since 17 to now. 1 year.
And I think that was 2024.
When they took the kid
Jared Verse.
Yeah, Florida State. Yep. Yeah. They got Trent McDuffie, and then he got paid.
Yes, he did.
Yesterday, $100 million guaranteed. I forget what his contract is total, but highest paid corner ever in league history. I'm glad to get McDuffie and Crosby out of the West. I was happy to get them out. Jalen Phillips got paid today by the Panthers.
Oh, it's his
4-year deal, $120 million.
He did get $100 million.
Yeah, 120.
Wow.
Yep. Because, the Panthers, they've been aggressive. They were also, they're rumored to get Lloyd from Jacksonville, but he hasn't signed anywhere yet.
Devin Lloyd, is that his name, Devin?
Because they thought Panthers or Bengals. The Bengals and somebody else.
I'm surprised Phillips got $100 million because
I was too.
He's had two serious leg injuries. He was looking like he was going to be a $100 million player until he blew out his Achilles at MetLife Stadium the day after Thanksgiving in 2023. And then he tore his ACL the next year. That's surprising.
Yep.
Good for him.
Denver Broncos didn't do much today. They re-signed some of their own. They re-signed J.K. Dobbins, a 2-year deal. If he can stay healthy, I absolutely love it. But that's the problem. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, when he got hurt week 10 this year, he was top 5 in the league in rushing yards. And then their run game was non-existent after that. If he can stay healthy, I mean, his whole career, he is very productive, but he can't stay healthy. So they need to go get a plan B. I mean, Harvey's kind of going to be a utility guy, I think a receiving back. I don't know if they can grab another veteran in free agency or if they draft somebody. They need to have a plan B because they didn't really have one last year and it fell apart.
What's Melvin Gordon up to these days?
Not hanging on to the ball somewhere. and then they re-signed Alex Singleton to a 2-year deal. I think it was $18 million. But with doing so, because they re-signed Justin Strnad for a 3-year deal over the weekend, they released Dre Greenlaw today after just 1 year.
Oh.
So he was a big signee for them last year in San Francisco. But couldn't stay healthy, really. But I still was hoping they'd bring him back on a restructured deal. But they released him. So, So right now, not doing a whole lot besides bringing their own guys back. But they still have the draft. But I was a little annoyed when they missed out on Kenneth Walker, mainly because he went to Kansas City.
Right.
Then ETN was the one that really had me upset, which I guess they were in on him. But the price that got too high. I mean, he ended up getting $13 million a year. So
4 years for a running back is
so they got good hometown deals with two guys, and I like Alex Singleton. He gets ripped on a lot by Broncos country, but I like the guy. So other news, some backup quarterback movement. Gardner Minshew went to the Cardinals.
They're going to roll with Jacoby Brissett as their starter and Minshew as their back.
They got to go draft somebody. They got to go get Simpson.
Yeah.
Or somebody. I mean, come on.
That's a brutal room.
Yeah. I don't know. I know Jake Browning's available. I don't think he signed anywhere today. There's some other backups. Like I said, Flacco, but he wants to try to start for somebody, but there's nobody that he's got to start for.
Man, the AFC North, Joe Burrow has a terrible offensive line. Now he has to face Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, and Max Crosby.
Twice a year each.
Different teams.
Yeah.
Too. That's a rough one.
Yeah, and the Bengals just don't pay their guys. Trey Henderson's a guy out there.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's got to go.
Bengals have been routinely dead last in the Players Association poll of treatment of players for that owner. Ironically, the Dolphins have been number one the past like 4 years with their treatment of players and families and stuff. They just don't win.
I hate how they're doing away with that now starting next year and we don't get to see those.
Me too. I thought those were very interesting to go and read through.
Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, it's a fun time of year. The NFL never really has an off season, but it really cranks up now with the new season starting, free agency, draft, et cetera, through the summer.
I would say June is their off season.
That's fair.
Not a whole lot happens in June. You see guys get arrested, but other than that, not real any player move. Every once in a while, you'll see a big trade or something.
Yeah.
That's true.
But college hoops. A lot of mid-major tournaments in the books. None more exciting than the Patriot League.
Oh, man.
Was that the semifinal
or the final?
That was the final.
Was it the final?
I think that was the final.
I'm pretty sure it was the semifinal.
Oh, I thought it was the final. Because I was like, what a brutal way for Navy to miss the tournament.
I want to say it was the semifinal just for the fact that I think Colgate played as well.
Oh,
Boston U versus Lehigh is the final. The fight to get a 16 seed because they're both 17 and 16.
Yeah. So, Navy was actually pretty good this year.
Navy might have been 14 or 15 seed.
Yeah.
But, those two. Yeah. Wednesday night.
When was the last time Navy made the tournament?
I don't know. I'll go look it up real quick.
I don't know. It was back in the Admiral days with David Robinson.
Had to have been. Let's see here. Let me look up Navy college basketball. France. Speaking of, my dad actually saw David Robinson play at Navy because they played at Iowa, and he took my uncle. My uncle was a kid.
Navy beat him?
I don't know. I'd have to ask. Navy's been to the tourney 11 times. They have not made it since 1998.
What a heartbreaker.
Yeah, that is heartbreaker. John Perry is their head coach. Ed DeChellis was just coaching for them last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he just retired.
The one game, I think my dad and I watched like 2 minutes of them blow Army out on one Saturday. And DeChellis was in the stands, and they showed him and talked about him a little bit. So he's still around the program a little bit.
My dad said Navy killed Iowa.
Good.
That game. So I might have to, while we continue to talk college basketball, I'm going to go look it up to see what it was.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, the big conferences, the high majors are this week. There's a couple other mid-majors that are this week as well.
There's quite a few. Week. Yeah.
Arch Madness was Arch Madness this year for sure.
Yeah.
I thought Illinois Chicago was going to make it. I thought they were going to do it.
I did too, and they hadn't been in a long time.
They would have paired them against Illinois.
Oh, for sure, in that 15-2. For sure. No shot. It wouldn't have been Illinois. They like to do that.
Crap. Oh, they do.
I'm still mad at Loyola. Loyola probably should have been a 6th seed, and they ended up being an 8. just annoying.
But I don't know if the Horizon or the Horizon League. I don't know if theirs was last week or this week, because that was part of my bold prediction was Purdue and Purdue
theirs is, would
make the tournament.
Theirs is this week.
Okay.
No, the tournament started last week, but they play at home up until like the final.
Okay. Two rounds, Purdue Fort Wayne's probably already out. I just didn't.
Go look it up real quick.
Yeah, that was a pretty bold one on my part. but the regular season's done for all college basketball. yeah, the Big Ten standings definitely played out differently than you and I had them in our preseason predictions, which I got right here. You and I both had Purdue winning the conference.
Yep.
Unfortunately, for my part, that did not happen. And after tiebreakers came into play, they're the seventh seed.
Yeah.
The Big Ten tournament.
Honestly, being a seventh seed might not be the worst thing in the world.
Well, if I knew they could play up to their potential, it's the best path they could have. But I don't have a lot of confidence in them right now. We both had Michigan as runner-up, so we weren't too far off there. You had Illinois finishing third. I had UCLA finishing third, with Illinois fourth, and you had UCLA fourth. So
not too far off on UCLA. I got a sixth seed.
My fifth was Michigan State. They end up getting the
three.
Nebraska got two. Your fifth seed was Oregon.
Man, I was off. Everyone was off on them, though.
My sixth seed was Oregon. Your sixth seed was Wisconsin.
Okay, they got the five. I'm not,
Seven was Michigan State. Mine was Iowa.
Yeah.
My eight was Wisconsin. Your eight was Ohio State, who's starting to play really good ball.
And I think they ended up with the eight after all that.
Your nine was Iowa. Mine was USC.
I think Iowa ended up with the nine.
Yeah, USC was not a good one.
Well, they started 18-6 and then lost out.
Yeah, that's true. So,
yeah.
Your 10 was Indiana.
I got 10.
I'm rolling. My 10 was Ohio State. My 11 was Indiana. Your 11 was Washington. Your 12 was USC. My 12 was Maryland. My 13 was Washington. Yours was Nebraska.
We were way off on Nebraska. Everyone was, though.
My 14 was Northwestern. Your 14 was Maryland. Your 15 was Northwestern. Mine was Nebraska. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
My 16 was Minnesota. Your 16 was Minnesota. And our 17 were both Rutgers. Our 18 was both Penn State.
We nailed the Penn State one, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever been as far off on a team as we were Nebraska in our I don't remember ever seeing a media poll be as far off. I think coming into the year, the media poll had them 14 or 15 as well.
Oh yeah, I think the highest I saw was 13 in anything.
Yeah, and they get the 2 seed.
Yeah.
I don't believe in them, but I probably should. I just don't. I don't know if it's the name on the front of the jersey that's getting me a little bit. Because, I said this after they beat Illinois in Champaign, that I think they're a good team. And obviously, it turned out to be a good team. I'm still going to pick against them in the round of 64. Regardless, they get a 2 or 3 seed, which I don't think they can get a 2. I think 3 is probably their ceiling. I'm picking the 14. I'm just doing it because that's part of my bold predictions, I think. But
it is.
It just wouldn't surprise me to see them lose because I just don't think they're all that great.
It'll be interesting to see if they travel for once to Chicago for the Big Ten tournament.
This would be the time to do it,
right?
For sure.
Right. And I still know if they will.
Yeah. I would say obviously Purdue much closer. Assuming Purdue can get past Indiana or
Northwestern or Penn State
or Northwestern.
Because that's the thing. If Northwestern beats Penn State, they play Indiana, who they just beat.
Yeah, and Indiana had a blowout win against Minnesota, but then were just horrendous. And they've been horrendous for, you know.
They're on the wrong side of the bubble right now, for sure.
Definitely. They obviously cannot lose the Northwestern or Penn State. Have to beat Purdue in order to get in, I think.
Scares me to death.
I would say even if they beat Purdue and then lose to, you know, Michigan State or UCLA or whoever, I think they'd maybe in Dayton.
Yeah,
but I think they'd get in if they beat Purdue.
Which history says they won't play Purdue because they've played once inaugural 98. So
maybe this year should be the year. But again, Nick Martinelli's not going to go down without a fight.
No, especially
in Chicago.
Him up. And I want to do this before I forget. My dad said if we had time, we could do this. We could try to help him out. He's in a Big Ten fantasy every year, and they do stuff for the Big Ten tournament.
Yes.
Where you get to choose 5 guys, and it's an all scoring league. Now it's very interesting with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Do you take somebody like Martinelli, knowing he's going to be a bucket getter and probably going to play at least two games? Or do you try to take maybe some Purdue guys who have, even though they're not playing well, have a path that looks favorable if they can play well? Or do you take the heavy hitters like Wagler, Michigan guys, Michigan State guys? What would you do? Who's five guys you would take?
Oh, that's a great question, because there's definitely more of a strategy to it now with all the games. But at the same time, if you're playing a lot of games, it means your team stinks. So you're probably not going to play that many games.
Yeah.
I would still take Martinelli, because I think you're good for at least 44 points, you know, through two games. I would take him. I would take Bruce Thornton, because I think he's going to play two games. I'd have a hard time not taking Nick Boyd at this point.
He's a good getter.
I think he'll play at least two games. I wouldn't even be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing three. Michigan State doesn't really have a guy that I would take.
If we were counting low blows, you would, but I mean,
yeah. Bennett Sturts, I would probably take, because I think he's going to be playing two games.
Yeah, four guys already.
I know.
And you haven't picked Wagler or anybody on Michigan?
Wagler's hit a freshman wall at the worst possible time.
He can go on such a heater.
He can, but he's shooting 26% from three.
And I guess they're not guaranteed a second game. With nobody but.
At this point, after watching him yesterday, I might take that guy from Maryland. I forget what his name is.
I can't name a player on Maryland off the top of my head.
He had 30 against him yesterday. He's only a freshman, too. He's going to be a good player if he sticks
around. Something
about
Maryland and Illinois.
Andre Mills had 30. So Andre Mills has averaged 22 points a game over his last five. He had 30 yesterday. So assuming they can get past Oregon, he's probably playing. So I might even take him. I'm not going to, though, just for the sake. Donovan Dent is the guy that I would take. I think he plays at least two games. He's been on a tear now. It's mainly been assists. He has 56 assists to two turnovers.
Yeah, ridiculous.
He's on an unbelievable tear. So those are my five. A lot of point guards, because again, they get to free throw line a bunch, which I know that's one of your dad's strategies. You get late in games. I remember talking about this years ago. When we would do the fantasy, Big Ten fantasy, when he was in, he said, I like taking point guards because, you know, if they have a lead late, they're the ones that's going to be getting the ball and get a free throw line. There's opportunities for 2 points there. So it does make it tougher with all the or more strategy, I should say.
I still think you got to get Yaxel in there just because they're probably going to make it a Sunday. And that's three games. He's got to get his.
Maybe Merez Johnson, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say they get to Sunday, so that's three games. But yeah, I'd probably throw Yaxel in there instead of Dent.
And if I was to take a Purdue guy, I'd take Trey Kaufman Wren.
He's been the most consistent.
He can stay out of foul trouble. He's gonna get his points. Braden was finally looking for a shot Saturday, from which I heard. I didn't get to watch any of the game. So none. So from what I heard, he was looking for his shot and had 20 points, 9 assists.
He definitely did early. He was shooting it a bunch early.
And Fletcher played well, but he's been trouble having with his consistency. So
yeah, all year. Yeah. Really past two years.
I heard a crazy stat this morning. CJ Cox, 0 turnovers in Big Ten play.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I know he's not a point guard, but I'm like, that's really strange.
PJ Thompson went through stretches where he was point guard and he didn't turn it over at all.
No, he was pretty efficient with the ball. Yeah. He was a good free throw shooter. He was fundamentally sound.
Too much about Illinois, but I know Trent Frazier had a stretch his senior year where he had, I think, 8 straight Big Ten games without a turnover.
That's pretty crazy.
So, yeah.
Well, he's one of your all-time faves.
I know.
Our player of the year predictions, we were both off. You had Braden Smith. I actually had Trey Kaufman Wren.
It's gonna be Yaxel. I can't imagine it's anyone else.
I still think Dusty May's coach of the year, even though I could see Horberg, but I think
Dusty will get it.
Wagner will get freshman of the year. Yep. That dude on Nebraska will get sixth man.
Frazier, there's a rumor swirling around that has 1 foot out the door already. So we'll see where their heads are at. There was even a picture of him yesterday where it's a timeout. The team is, you know, kind of by the free throw line. He's sitting on the bench still with his head down. So, but yeah.
Maybe he already knows where he's playing next year.
Maybe.
But it'll be interesting to see who all makes the all-conference teams.
I hate the all-conference teams that have 10 guys.
Yes, stupid. It defeats the purpose.
The Big 12 did it today. ACC has
high schools do it all the time.
Six guys
now
on there. Yeah. I like the Big 10 still sticks with five.
Yep.
So, and it's a fascinating one because you have so many good high-end players that somebody really good is going to be left off of the first team. So, yep. When does that come out? Does that come out tonight or tomorrow?
It used to be on Monday, but I feel like
it's Tuesday during the day, like Tuesday noon. Now.
I know the ACC did theirs today.
Okay.
Kid from Duke won the
Boozer.
I think it was Boozer.
Gotta be Boozer.
Of the year, yeah. And Shire won Coach of the Year.
Boozer's probably going to win National Player of the Year, I'd imagine.
I would say, yeah. Yeah, it was Boozer. Yeah. I didn't see who else. I didn't care. I don't like the ACC, so I don't care. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't watch a lot of college basketball this past week. So.
No, I watched first half of the Purdue game. I didn't watch the second half at all. Didn't watch any of the Indiana game. Hmm. I liked the Big Ten when they spread them out a little more because the first game was at, 3:15 Central Time, and then they're all – but I liked the games that start at 11 and then 1, and then, but that didn't happen. Yep. Then I watched the Illinois game yesterday, and that was sure. It. And
watched a little bit of the Illinois game, a little bit of Michigan State, but that was it.
Yeah.
I watched some golf yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
Arnold Palmer. Ricky Fowler finished 9th. So, first top 10 of the year. So, yeah, playing well. Playing well. If you could just figure out how to play on a Saturday, that would really be nice. But because he's 60th in the standings, and I think for the world rankings, he's got to get up to top 50 to get in the Masters.
I was just about to ask.
He's got the Players this week and then the Shell Houston Open. He's got two tournaments.
Yeah.
If he can get top 20s in both, he probably makes it. So, he's playing well.
When's the last time he's played in the Masters?
I think 2 years ago.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Because he won a tournament like 2 years prior or a year prior to that. But he's missed quite a few in the last 5 or 6 years. And it's a course he usually plays well at the Masters historically. So,
yeah.
But let's go through the Big Ten tournament here and see who he thinks going to be playing on Sunday and ultimately winning it. I got to find the brackets. Here we go. Starting tomorrow with Maryland versus Oregon.
Illinois played both these teams over the past week, and Maryland was much better. They have not given up on the season. They played much harder, and they were much more physical than Illinois was yesterday, which is concerning in its own right, that the team that's 11-20 or whatever they are. But Oregon gave up, and I would imagine that continues. And so give me Maryland to win that one.
I'll take Oregon to be different. I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think
they both stink.
Teams win one game. So winner plays Iowa. Penn State, Northwestern.
Give me Northwestern. Penn State has given up on the season and are not playing at all. I saw a loose ball yesterday where the big guy didn't even get on the floor. He tried to reach down and pick it up, and it was awful.
Yep.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I like the Cats in that one as well. Yeah. All right, so back to top of the bracket. You got Maryland versus Iowa. I have Oregon versus Iowa.
Iowa has been close against top 10 opponents here the past week, but they've also lost to Penn State within the past 8 or 9 days. I don't think it should matter. Give me Iowa.
I like Iowa there as well. And then it would be USC versus Washington.
USC has 100% given up. Give me Washington.
Yeah, I'll take the Huskies there as well. Winner plays.
Will either team have a single fan that's not a parent there?
No.
I would say no.
Actually, probably have like one, but yeah. is there any some alumni that play on the Bears or Bulls or something? I don't know.
Caleb Williams could be there. He was at the he was at the Illinois USC game in USC a few weeks ago.
All right, so we had Northwestern beating Penn State, Northwestern, or Indiana?
Give me Indiana. I think they get it done.
I think IU would get a rematch done, but that would be a good game.
I think so, too.
Rutgers or Minnesota?
Give me Minnesota.
I like the Golden Gophers there as well. So we both had Iowa defeating Maryland/Oregon, which would make the 8-9 game Iowa and Ohio State.
Give me Ohio State. They have been playing some really good basketball the past couple weeks. And I think they're a lock, too.
Yep, I think so, too. Give me Ohio State in that one as well. Wisconsin against Washington.
Wisconsin's also rolling. Give me Wisconsin.
I'm taking Wisconsin as well. Purdue against Indiana.
Give me Purdue in that one.
I will take Purdue as well, even though knowing Indiana really needs that one scares me to death. The series split 1-1.
I would say Purdue needs that one to keep off the 4 seed line.
Yeah, I agree.
They got a lot to play for.
Just the thought of Indiana winning the series, season series 2-1 on top of winning national championship in football, just miserable. Minnesota versus UCLA.
UCLA struggles when they travel east.
And they won't have many fans.
Minnesota just beat them. That was in Minnesota. Give me UCLA though on a very close one. That might be the that and Ohio State. Iowa might be the game of the second round.
I like the Bruins there as well. And that gets us to Friday. We'd have a rivalry game if it's chalk, Ohio State versus Michigan.
Give me Michigan.
Michigan, the close one. These two teams in Big Ten tournament history usually play pretty good games.
Yeah.
Never forget the Evan Turner game in 2010 where he hit the half court.
Michigan's kind of due. I wouldn't say they played all that great this week and they found a way to win both of them.
Right.
Could have easily lost at Iowa.
Right.
Michigan State gave them all they wanted yesterday too.
Wisconsin or Illinois?
Illinois wants revenge after, blowing a 12-point lead and losing in overtime without Boswell and Stojakovic. I tweeted yesterday that was the most unenjoyable road win of my entire life.
You did tweet that. I might have retweeted it.
I would say that was the worst 40 minutes of basketball they've played in Big Ten play since at least the Nebraska game in Champaign in December. They were bad yesterday. They had low energy, made 1-3 in the second half. David Mirkovic was their saving grace. He was the only guy that really showed up. I need a heck of a lot more out of Boswell. Wagler got to the line a bunch, got fouled a bunch, but he has not been shooting well since he had since he left the game against UCLA. He's been kind of a slump, so hopefully getting, 5 days off will help him kind of get back. The V6 have been terrible lately. Bad vibes right now, for me anyway, personally, after watching them yesterday. They did win, so I can't really complain. Yeah, fair. Illinois cannot stop guards that can penetrate, and Boyd and Blackwell.
I feel that. they might have shot all their shots on Saturday hitting 18
maybe
threes.
They were hitting everything, especially in the first half of what I watched.
They hit 18 threes total.
If Illinois wins, when it comes to the Big Ten tournament, I'm kind of like, if they win, awesome. If they lose, you get an extra week off. Until you play. So,
but you would like to win something.
Would like to win. Again, that loss against Wisconsin kept them off of the 2 line. So now you got to face Michigan on Saturday if you win instead of facing a Michigan State.
If it goes chalk.
Give me Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's playing much better basketball right now. I hope I'm wrong. I wish I could watch it, but I won't because I'll be at work. Illinois gotten the double bye or double/triple bye. Well, this is the first time they got the triple bye since, but they've at least been playing on Friday. Their first game's been on Friday 5 of the last 7 years, and they've won 2 of those. So I'm hoping every other year they kind of win one. But give me Wisconsin.
Yeah, last year was Purdue's first year. They missed the double bye, whatever you want to call it, since it didn't take place in what ended up being the 2020. Yeah. They weren't going to do it that year. And this year, of course, they didn't do it either. I'm taking Illinois, though. I think it'll be a good game, but I think it'll be pro-Illinois crowd. I think Illinois finds a way to get done.
Wisconsin will have a good crowd there, too, because I would say Madison is equidistant to Champaign. I would think Champaign's maybe a little closer, but not that much.
I think Illinois will have a good crowd. Wisconsin will have a good crowd. Michigan will have a good crowd. Michigan State will have a good crowd. Yeah. Indiana, if they win a game, they'll bring some. Purdue will have a pretty good crowd. Ohio State doesn't care.
They really don't.
About Nebraska.
So. I think Nebraska will travel. I think Iowa doesn't really care about men's basketball. If it was women's, I think they'd sell the place out. But or football. I think this will be the year Nebraska brings a ton of fans. They brought a good amount of fans to Minneapolis too a few years ago when Illinois played them. But
Nebraska and Purdue.
Give me Purdue. I like Purdue's draw. Again, don't believe in Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to be confident in Purdue right now. The way they've played, they did beat Nebraska when they played, and they were up a ton, but Nebraska fought and plays overtime. But something about that matchup I do like, so I'm taking Purdue in that
It's a matchup where Purdue has the size advantage, which they don't really have all that much. They already beat them early in the year. Of course, it was a 22-point lead to, you know, down one in overtime at one point. But, I like that matchup. I don't believe in Nebraska.
Purdue's going to get theirs. This is one of the better Purdue offenses I've ever seen, if not the best. It just might be the worst defense I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Opponents just find ways to shoot lights out against them. I'm not trying to be a baby, but it's been amazing this year. Illinois and Michigan and Wisconsin, especially in Mackey. I mean, they lost five games in Mackey. Iowa State ripped the Nets against them. I mean, just – there's something there. I don't know enough about the X's and O's.
Eventually, a team's just not going to shoot very well.
That's what my dad keeps saying. Wisconsin did that the first time against them. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. This time, they hit everything.
I going to say? I was going to say something else about Nebraska. Oh, they're scary, though, because Price Sanford can go off.
Sure.
Frazier's a good shooter. Hoiberg's a hustle dork, but he's at least a pretty good one.
Well, Mass kills Purdue. Any big guy who can pick and pop kills
Purdue. Yeah, which that's Mass.
So. UCLA, Michigan State.
Michigan State.
I like Sparty there as well. So semifinals, you have Michigan against Wisconsin. I have Michigan against Illinois.
Wisconsin gave Michigan their only Big Ten loss this year. I don't think it happens again. Give me Michigan.
Yep. Michigan got the better of Illinois. The one time they played, I just think Michigan's too good. Getting Michigan. And then Purdue against Michigan State.
Give me Michigan State in that one. I think I'm scared. I think this is Izzo's best chance to get to a Final Four in years.
I agree. I think Michigan State beat Purdue by 2 points the one time they did play. And Mackey, I think Michigan State would win another tight one. I mean, if Purdue can win two, I'm pretty happy. If they can get the weekend, I feel if they get the weekend, it's a revenge tour, no matter who they play. Even if Ohio State would somehow, I mean, it's a revenge tour. Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Nebraska, UCLA, Michigan State. I mean, give me the weekend, see what happens.
The one thing for me that I'm glad Illinois did get the 4 seed is they won't have to play Purdue until the championship game.
I want another crack at you.
I was dreading it because all week I'm like, it's pretty locked in. Illinois is going to be the 4, Purdue's going to be the 5, and then Purdue ends up losing. I'm like, man, I talk so much trash after Walker went off. I would have done the same. I know. I'm like, man, I don't want to hear it from them, but even though I 100% deserve it.
That's all right.
Maybe they'll shock us and get to the final.
Maybe. Hey, I'll take it. Sign me up right now. Michigan State would be the 3rd time. Michigan getting about twice.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. Give me Michigan State, just to be different, because I think a lot of people will have Michigan. And I think
Michigan's got Michigan. Better. I think Michigan's too good.
That place would be rocking, though. You know, both teams will have.
I saw it in 2018 at Madison Square Garden. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable,
obviously. But J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Boot.
I don't know if I got the NFL Network over here. DeMario Davis, 2-year deal with the Jets, $22 million. I don't know if that's breaking news or not. It says breaking news, but I feel like that was earlier reported.
I don't even know who DeMario Davis is. Is he a former? I think he played for the Jets, didn't he?
I wasn't even paying attention to what team he was on. Yeah. Was he a Saint? I don't know.
He might have been a Saint.
And the Commander signed Odafe Owohe, I think that's how I pronounce the name, the edge from the Chargers, 40-year, $100 million, $68 million guaranteed. Good, get another pass rusher out of the AFC West.
That's some money there.
Good. So, all right, I got my blind rankings. And it is Big Ten tournament related.
Beautiful.
I've probably done this one in the past.
But, that's all right.
I'm picking Big Ten tournament champion teams.
Okay.
And you got to rank them who you think was the best. Starting with what year do you start really watching Big Ten basketball? Because I don't want to give you anything.
04-05. I would say. I mean, that was a really good team for Illinois. It was really D. Brown's freshman year. 2002, 2003 that I really remember. But you didn't get every single game on TV either, so it made it more difficult. But I would say 2004, 2005 is a good.
Giving you the 2009 champion Purdue, who was a 3 seed that year and beat 5 seed Ohio State 65-61. And Robbie Hummel was most outstanding player.
Yeah, I think Illinois and them played in the semifinal.
They did. I was
and
at
Purdue. That blew the doors off them. Illinois beat them twice in the regular season. Right. Purdue blew the doors off them in tourney. I'm going to do the cop out and put them 3. They were good.
Interesting. They never hit their full potential until the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah,
they were finally healthy.
I remember that.
Robbie was having a back issue on and off. And then they made Sweet 16 and lost to a UConn team that made
the top four. Beat.
And Jeff Adrian. And that was the first time like they were using football arenas in the regional. Mm. And Purdue shot so bad in Glendale that day.
Yeah.
So let's see here. 2013 Ohio State, they were 2 seed, beat 4 seed Wisconsin 50-43. Aaron Kraft was the most outstanding player.
Of course, in 2013, Michigan was the best team in, I think, I don't know, I assume they won the Big Ten that year because they went to the national championship game. 13 would have been, I'm trying to think who was even on that team. Obviously, Aaron Kraft. Sullinger wasn't there anymore.
Indiana might have been the 1 seed in
13. Oh, Indiana was the 1 seed then. So Michigan ended up going to the national championship game. I'm going to put them at 4.
4?
Yeah. Okay.
2015 Wisconsin. They were a 1 seed, beat 3 seed Michigan State in overtime, 80-69. Frank Kaminsky was the most outstanding player.
I'm going to put them 1. I could argue that they are the best Big Ten team since at least 2010. They have a very good case for that. I mean, Kaminsky and Sam Decker and all those guys were very good, and they lost a heartbreaker to Duke. It was a very good game.
2018, number 5 seed Michigan beat 3 seed Purdue 75-66. Moritz Wagner was the MVP.
That team was good. What do I have open? 2-5?
Yep. That team made the finals, right?
Yes, lost to Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put them 2 then. That team got hot late, though, because they kind of struggled throughout January and February, and then Big Ten tourney, they just got lights out.
Well, your last one, I had the 21 Illini. 2 seed beat 5 seed Ohio State. Forgot it was this close of a game. 91-88 overtime. Ayodesumu was the most outstanding player.
It was a 3-point game, but it's because CJ Walker hit a 3 as time expired.
There's a name I forgot about. Yeah.
It made it a 6-point game into a 3-point game.
Too much sauce.
So obviously they're going to have to go 5. Re-rank, I'm putting Wisconsin 1, Illinois 2, Michigan 3, and then 4 would have been that Purdue team. Then 5 was the Ohio State 2013, which I'm okay with.
I think most of these teams, if I gave you the winner, you could give me the most outstanding player.
Okay.
I'm going to quiz you on one here because this all surprised me. 2008 Wisconsin, who beat 10 seed Illinois 61-48. Who's the most outstanding player for Wisconsin?
2008. I wasn't able to watch that because I was on an airplane. I remember I checked the score once we landed. It was spring break. Alondo Tucker,
Marcus Landry, Carl's brother. I completely forgot about him.
I don't think Tucker was on the 08 team anymore.
I think he was older
earlier.
Lockport's
fine.
One more, real quick. How about 06 Iowa? 2 seed beat 1 seed Ohio State 67-60.
Iowa, was that Adam Haluska?
Great guess. Similar guy, Jeff Horner.
Oh, Jeff Horner, yeah. Him and Greg Bruner and Haluska, all the white guys.
Yeah, back before that, Luke Reckert, also he had a guy named Boyd. I forget his first name.
Yeah.
Little guy. Oh, man. Good stuff. But that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like as every former Print 2 promo group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Do you want to get educated before we go?
Yes, I need it. feels like a Monday today because it is Monday.
It is Monday, and it's daylight savings time, which makes you feel worse. 1936, Babe Ruth turned down the Cincinnati Redlegs to make a comeback as a player.
What a great decision. Who wants to play for that organization?
On this day in 1957, North Carolina beat South Carolina in the ACC basketball tournament.
South Carolina was in the ACC.
Yeah.
All right. So that might give me a clue if the ACC tournament's that old.
Well, okay.
Maybe.
1961, Philadelphia Warriors center Wilt Chamberlain scored 67 points.
He's in this every other week anymore.
Yeah. 1979, MLB commissioner Bowie Kuhn orders baseball to give equal access to female reporters.
Good on him, as he should. How far could you go back with MLB commissioners, do you think?
I couldn't name you past Selig.
Okay. I thought maybe you could get back to this guy somehow.
No.
Was this guy before Selig? Like, was he the last one before Selig?
Couldn't tell you. I think there was a guy in between. I don't know. 100%.
Sure. I couldn't do any of them. NBA could get you two.
NFL could get you three. No, two. Goodell and Tagliabue. Well, who was right before Tagliabue? I could see his face.
I can picture him from the 1983 draft.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
On this day in 1995, baseball awards a franchise to Tampa Bay, which were then the Devil Rays.
I guess good decision.
On this day in no more. There are no more. That is a rough one today.
Short list today.
Yeah,
short list today on March 9th. But next week will be jam-packed, I'm sure, with the tournament. So but that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing.
Anything else before you hear the birdie bogey?
Man, I can't think. It's just
who do you let's go high majors. Who do you have winning the Big 12? Tourney.
Arizona.
I have Houston. What about ACC?
Duke.
SEC.
I want to say Florida, but I'm not going to say Florida.
I'm going to say Florida. They're rolling.
I know. I'm sick of all these like one seeds and two seeds. I know. Let's pick somebody. SEC. How about Tennessee? I don't know. Throw a dagger out there.
I think Auburn has to get in. Hopefully they have.
I can't believe they think they're in one game above 500.
I can't either.
Georgia. I'm doing Georgia.
All right. That would be a major wrench. All right. Yes,
I don't like Tennessee. I can't pick for anything.
I was gonna say I was surprised you picked them.
Yeah.
Big
East.
UConn. I'm gonna say UConn. Although they've been kind of limping to the finish line a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take UConn, even though I want to say St. John's,
but okay. Yeah.
Not Butler.
Give me DePaul in the Big East when they make
a better chance than Butler.
What high major has the most conference tournament championships?
Well, I was thinking about going with an ACC team, and then you said that about North Carolina and South Carolina way back in the day. I'm like, okay, that might be the oldest tournament, so I think it's got to be somebody. But then I'm like, okay, which one of the two am I going to go? Am I going to go UNC? Am I going to go Duke? I'm going UNC.
Good guess, but that is incorrect. It's not Duke either.
No? But somebody in the ACC?
No.
Oh.
The SEC tournament has been around since 1933.
Wow. Kentucky.
Ah. With 31.
That makes sense.
Duke is second with 24.
Okay.
Kansas has 12.
Ah. UNC doesn't even have that many. Wow.
No.
Wow.
Arizona. UNC might have more than 12. I just went high major conferences in which.
Gotcha.
So Kansas has the most in the Big 12 with 12.
Makes sense.
Arizona had the most in the Pac-10, 12 with 9. Michigan State has six.
I knew Big Ten started 98 and knew it wasn't going to be Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Didn't even think. Yeah, Kentucky and the SEC, that makes total sense.
The Big 12, I think, has been playing their tourney since the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Ten was new. I mean, but, you know, they had 10 teams and they got to 11. Yeah. I don't know what made them start in 98, though. They
I don't 11. Know. Yeah.
But money. Money.
Thanks for watching the Tan and James. Actually, did you do the read for On This Day or did I space that?
I did it.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll be here all night if you need me. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at it with another episode on Monday to preview the bracket. Have a great week, everybody.